When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, "Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping." Fred Rogers from Mr. Rogers. The Census Bureau predicts that by 2030, the world population will hit 8.5 billion people. That's billion with a B. There are a lot of people around us at any given moment in time, either figuratively or quite literally. But why is it that in spite of that, we often feel alone and lonely? No, Facebook friends, Instagram followers, and Twitter fans don't count. Sure, they might measure your popularity, but they don't measure your worthiness. They don't measure the richness that actual human connection can provide. That smile, that handshake, that hug, that hello, that voice, they all matter so much more than just swipes on a screen or hearts on a post, don't you think? Today, in this bonus episode, I hope you will indulge me and let me share some personal narratives on the importance of human connections. Stories from my life where the kindness of strangers, the warmth of touch, or even the tightness of a hug did not feel suffocating. In fact, it felt like a life jacket. There is power in human connection, my friend. Let's embrace it instead of running away from it.
Welcome to Culturally Ours, a show where we explore global cultural diversity in an intimate way through conversations and narratives around lifestyle, culture, food, art, and travel. Host Karthika Gupta talks to people from all over the world who have intimately experienced different cultures as a way to understand each other's worlds from the inside out, focusing on what we have in common.
Life is always a series of events, right? Moments in time where something happens, someone you meet, or even something you experience completely changes you. I want to share a couple of events, stories if you will, on how powerful human connection is to our well-being, our very survival, because no man is an island. Life is not meant to be lived in solitude. The first story takes me back to one of the darkest periods of my life. Back in fall of 2016, we found out that my mom's breast cancer, the one we thought she had successfully beaten a couple of years ago, was back and had spread. Her oncologist immediately started her on a treatment plan that involved chemo and a whole slew of medications, as it's always the case with cancer. As soon as I heard the news, I left everything, my home, my kids, my work, and went to spend time with her. Now, my mom lived in Chennai, India at the time with my 95-year-old grandma. And even though she had a strong support system of her brothers and sisters and friends and family around, I knew my mom needed me there. More importantly, I needed me to be there. I remember my days were spent handling hospital visits, managing her house, my grandma, and a whole lot of other things we shall not get into. Although my mom was living at home, we would end up in the ICU almost every other day for something or the other. These ICU visits meant an overnight for my mom, making sure my grandma was okay alone at home, and staying up almost 24 hours because the ICU rules require at least one family member to be in the hospital at all times. Now, although I'm from Chennai, my command of Tamil, which is the local language, isn't that great, and that meant that everything took twice as long for me to understand and process. But I will never forget the kindness and generosity of the ICU nurses, the overnight custodial staff, or even the families of other ICU patients who, like me, stayed many nights sleeping on the floor in the hospital lobby. Now, I know things are different all around the world, but most hospitals in India don't have comfortable waiting rooms. In fact, this one had metal benches. Yep, metal benches in the lobby that come 7 p.m. would be snatched up, first come, first served, for those whose family members were in the ICU. I have had strangers hold a bench for me, buy me coffee at 2 a.m. so that we could stay awake in case we were called to the ICU. Go stand in line for entry into the ICU during visiting hours. Hear my story. Hold my hand while I would break down, even though they did not understand a word of what I was saying. They say when you are in the darkest, deepest of personal hells, look for the helpers because someone is always there to hold your hand, listen to your cries, and comfort you even if it is just a glance. I will be the first to admit that the world can be a scary place, but there is also immense strength in human connection. Strength to face the toughest situation if you only open yourself up to that connection. Human to human, heart to heart, soul to soul. I am truly sorry if the first story brought you to tears or made you a little uncomfortable, but I promise you the second one will make you smile. Hey there! I hope you are enjoying this episode of Culturally Ours. Did you know there are so many wonderful resources, articles, and blog posts on the website to extend your Culturally Ours experience? We also have a library of free resources like a travel guide to some of the most culturally diverse places around the world, a global kitchen essentials cheat sheet, and so much more. Head on over to culturallyours.com/free to grab these and be sure to check back often as we're constantly adding more resources just for you. Now, let's get back to the episode. This past summer, my family and I traveled through Montana and Wyoming, visiting some of America's iconic national parks. During one of our days in Grand Teton National Park, my kids and I decided to tackle a longish hike of about 6 to 8 miles alone. Now, to just put things in perspective, we are an avid hiking and backpacking family, so hiking into backcountry isn't something new for us. But for the most part, we've always done it as a group, so this was a challenge for sure, but one I was eager to take. We had almost neared the end of our hike, having met very few people along the way, when we decided to stop and just enjoy the views of alpine lakes from high above the ground. Now, there was an older couple who perhaps had the same idea and were sitting nearby. As soon as we stopped, the gentleman smiled and asked if I wanted to have our picture taken. "Oh, you know, since mom is never in the picture, right?" he said with a smile, and he promised this would be a postcard family moment. So I politely smiled and handed him my phone. He then proceeded to take about a dozen pictures from many different angles and vantage points, much to the amusement of my kids. After he took those photos, he and his wife noticed my daughter's clothes. Now, again, to give context and set the stage here a bit, my daughter is crazy about horses. She's an equestrian rider who is learning English hunter-jumper style of riding and has participated in a few horse shows as well. I swear she has more horse-embellished clothing than I personally care for, and for that, on that day she was wearing a hat and a t-shirt with lots of horse photos on it. So they asked her if she liked horses, at which point the conversation proceeded towards my daughter's love for horses and their family's association with these animals. Turns out they all rode at some point, owned various horses, and their daughter is a horse surgeon here in the States. Perhaps exactly what my daughter needed to hear, considering the conversations in our household are always around how she can take this passion for riding and horses and make it into a career. But the interaction didn't just stop there. The couple proceeded, in fact insisted, that my daughter contact their daughter and talk about career choices in the equestrian field. Almost like a career counseling session. We walked away with a name, an address, a phone number, an email, and lots of hugs. Since then, my daughter has contacted Dr. Sophie, and I couldn't be more thrilled of the outcome. Dr. Sophie is kind, patient, and shares what her journey has been like as a heart surgeon. Goes to show you never know who you will meet and how they will impact your life. These stories, they are not one-offs. We all have interesting stories and experiences meeting and connecting with people as we go through life. Some are positive and others maybe not so much. But regardless, these experiences, these interactions, they teach us a lot of things, don't they? We need to lean into them, learn from them, grow from them, and always look for the helpers that really do make life so much more enjoyable. Now, I admit opening yourself to these connections is not always easy, but there are a few things you can do, in fact, we all can do, to meet and connect with others authentically. I want to share with you three quick ways you can make powerful connections with others. Number one, listen more than you speak. There is a saying in our house when we are trying to have a conversation with our kids. We always say, you have 2 ears and 1 mouth, so please listen twice as much as you talk. Whether this impacts our teen or not, I cannot say, but I have certainly learned a lot from it. People want to be heard. They want to feel understood and appreciated. After all, understanding brings empathy, which brings forth acceptance. And we all want to feel accepted for who we truly are. Number two, come from a place of empathy, gratitude, and humbleness. Let go of any preconceived notions of who you are, what you have achieved, and how successful you are when you are talking and interacting with others. Yes, absolutely, be proud of your achievements, but never use that to put the other person down. You don't know the circumstances of their life. One of the most helpful people during my mom's illness was her driver. His wife told me that the entire time I was there taking care of my mother, he would sleep with his phone right next to his pillow in case I needed to go to the hospital in the middle of the night, which we did, by the way, many times. He was there for me, someone who I had never met before, who I could barely communicate with, but his constant presence made me feel safe, and I am eternally grateful for his help. Number three, give more than you want to receive. Dr. Sophie and her parents didn't owe us anything. They didn't even know us. And yet they invested their time in helping us out. Robert was right. As the family photographer, I am rarely in any photos with my kids. Those dozen or so images that he took meant a lot to me. I have very fond memories of that trek, and now I have images to look at. They got nothing from us in return except probably a smile, a hug, and lots of thank yous. Perhaps that is a lesson in itself. It is my sincere hope that these stories motivate you to connect with others around you. The guests who have come on the podcast through the seasons so far have shared their stories in the hopes of connecting with others. The contributors who write for Culturally Us do the same because they want to share a piece of their lives. Look for those helpers who really do make the world a better place. After all, you have more than 7.3 billion to choose from. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Culturally Ours. Check out the show notes at culturallyours.com. If you've enjoyed this show, please be sure to hit subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with your family and friends.